morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Well, there are now 7 Democrats running for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Republican Rod Grams. Last week, Iron Range State Senator Jerry Janosich, who owns a bar in Chisholm, officially entered the race, joining a crowded field that could include at least 2 more candidates before the winnowing process begins next year. Jerry Janosich has held public office for 17 years, 6 years as a St. Louis County Commissioner, another 4 years in the Minnesota House, and the past 7 years he served in the Minnesota State Senate. Today, as part of our continuing Meet the Candidates series, Senator Janosich has come by to talk about his campaign and take your questions. So we do invite you to give us a call. It's a great chance to learn a little bit more about a man who might be Minnesota's next U.S. Senator. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call here, 651-227-6000. That's our Twin City area number, 651-227-6000. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free. That number is 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Senator Janosich, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, Gary.
Why in the world do you want to be a U.S. Senator?
Oh, lots of reasons. I think part of it is that when I was very young, I was one of those that got hooked with the Kennedys in public office. And when John Kennedy became president of the United States, I was hooked. And I would spend a lot of time talking about it, actually, with my grandmother, about someday going to Washington, someday serving the people, doing good things, having government do good things for people. I was fortunate enough through this process to be able to serve on the county board in 82-83 and get elected to the House and then to the Senate. And now it's time to take that background. I look at our state and I think that we have a great state. The economy is working for a lot of people, but there's a lot of problems and things that should be solved. Social Security should be taken care of. Medicare should work, Medicaid. Agriculture shouldn't be the way it is. There's just a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're well known on the Iron Range, of course, but how do you raise your profile statewide?
Well, I definitely believe, Gary, we have to work at it. We have to do things like this, radio show. We're going to have to go out and meet as many people as we can. I think we're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to have to wear all our shoes, go everywhere, anywhere we can, talk to people, let them know what we think, what we feel, and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. You have, as I understand it, said that you're going to abide by the party's endorsement process. In other words, if you don't get the endorsement, you're going to drop out. Given the fact that it's such a tight time frame involved and there's so many candidates, why don't you leave yourself the option of campaigning longer, let people get to know you and enter the primary next September?
I think there's two big reasons. All right? The first one is, based the first question we had about the name ID and how do people get to know you. I believe part of how I get there is with that endorsement. I think that gives you some credibility, it gives you some name recognition, and it gives you people power, which I think eventually is the only way I'm going to get this thing done. The second reason is if that process fails, if that endorsing process fails and we end up running elections straight in primaries, I'm convinced it'll be about money. What I've learned in the last 4 or 5 months, well, since August, what I've learned is that people aren't asking, what does Jerry Janosich believe? They're asking, can Jerry Janosich raise money? And I don't think that's the way it should be. And I believe if we do not use that process, that low, moderate, middle-income people will not be able to run for public office. And I'm just convinced that it'll do 2 things for me. Give me the ID I need and the people that I need to do the work to get it done.
Can you overcome Michael Cerisi's huge war chest? I mean, he has a lot of money and will be able to run a lot of ads in the state. He's fairly well known already. How can you overcome that?
I think you just keep working at it. You keep going out, you keep touching people. Money doesn't vote, people vote. And I think that Ventura, although that was kind of a different type of exception, it was kind of an exception. He was at least had some name recognition, was known. I think that we go out, we work hard, let people know who we are, and let them know what we think and believe, and that's all you can do.
In a nutshell, Senator, why is it that you think you're the best Democrat for the race? Forget about the what you would perceive as Senator Graham's shortcomings, but why do you think of all the Democrats who are either in the race or might get in the race, you think you're the best man for the job?
Because I've been living it for a long time. In 82-83, I ran for a county board. I won. I ran for the Minnesota House, and I won, and I ran for the state senate, and I won. And I've been learning at each level, each stop. I learned more about what goes on and how this works. And I've learned more about what people need and what they don't need and how it works. And I think that what people tell you is that I'm a consensus builder and that I can get things done using the process that's there. And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. State Senator Jerry Janicich is our guest this hour. Senator Janicich is one of the DFL candidates for the U.S. Senate seat now held by Republican Rod Grams. Part of our Meet the Candidates series. Senator Janicich has come by today to take your questions, and we invite you to give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Great opportunity to learn a little bit more about where Jerry Janicich stands on the issues. Before we get to our first caller, I should ask you, sir, you were out in Seattle for the WTO meetings and the protests and so on. Should we read into that you're opposed to free trade?
No, I think what you should read into that is that I support fair trade. What that was all about, and I think that we as a nation and in the world need to understand that if the competition is fair, we will compete. If it is not, then we're going to have very difficult times. Part of, and I've learned that because of where I live, the steel industry, if we're going to dump steel into this country at low prices, the people that I represent are going to have a very difficult time maintaining their jobs and maintaining their living. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that people understand that in this global economy, that everybody should be able to make enough money to build a home, or buy a car, or feed their family, or send their kids to school. And I think in a global economy, we have two choices. We either bring them up to our standards, or they will lower us to theirs. And I think that the statement made there was, let's take a look at the environmental issues, let's take a look at the human rights issues, let's take a look at the pay issues, and then let's go, because we believe we can compete, but let's make sure that it's a fair and level field.
Apparently, many of the developing nations interpret that position as you got yours, and you want to hang on to it, and by golly, you just want to keep us down and exploit us.
See, and actually, it's just the opposite, I think. I think what we need to do is let them see what we have and get them there. So part of I think it goes back to, when my father... He didn't have health care. In fact, when he was in the cave-in at the Godfrey Mine, and his body was all crushed, and when he got out, he came home, and he sat at the kitchen table, and we as kids never saw Dad at home when we came home from school. Well, that day I came home from school, there he was at the kitchen table. I go to hug him. My mother grabs me by the back of the shirt because didn't want to hurt him, waiting for the company to allow before he could go to the hospital. The call had to come to say, yeah, he can go, we're going to pay for that. Today we have health care, and I think that's the same kind of things that we need to do. And I think that's all about educating and bringing them to our way of life rather than them taking us to theirs.
Is it going to be tough as a U.S. Senator balancing that concern with, for example, the concern of Minnesota farmers who really, in most instances, want to have as much trade as possible? Get the barriers down and let's go.
But we were marching with farmers. Okay, we marched with farmers, we marched with the environmental community, and we marched with labor. And they are experiencing a lot of the same kinds of problems. It's still about prices, and it's still about making a living. Our family farm is not having the kinds of problems it's having because they're happy and they're making a living. And they were the people that were doing, they were marching right alongside with us. So I think there's a lot of connection between the two. And I think that we have to balance that. And we shouldn't let some quasi-group determine some of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of that should be determined by us.
DFL Senate candidate Jerry Janicich is our guest this hour. Again, if you have a question for Senator Janicich, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. First caller is from St. Paul. Tim, go ahead.
Yes, Senator, for far too long, the government has been subsidizing the timber industry. Would you advocate for fair market value for timber in the grazing industry?
I think that if you're taking a look at the government, I mean, I'm kind of thinking of what industry we don't subsidize in some way or form. We subsidize ethanol, we subsidize steel, technology things we do by putting in some infrastructure. I would have to say that I'd have to look longer and harder at that, but I think that we probably will continue doing the things we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Todd, you're next.
Yeah, listen, I have a question for Senator Janicich. How would you rate your performance on the IRRRB in terms of diversifying the economy of the Iron Range? And you've had access to millions of dollars over all these years. How diversified is the business on the Iron Range? It's my understanding it's not that diversified, but I want to know how you think you're doing and how your colleagues are doing on the IRRRB in diversifying the economy of the Iron Range.
I think that's a good question. I think that if you take a look at the Iron Range today as compared to where it was in the early 80s, what you'll find is it's very stable, and you'll find that we have created some things that we believe are going to continue to help us grow. The mining industry is stable. The IRRRB has put a reasonable amount of money into that industry to make it stable. Northwest Airlines has located there. That's part of our plan. Finger Hut is there. With the advancement of the technology that exists out there, not only the range, but greater Minnesota should be able to do some more developing. We believe that the technology will help us get there. We have some examples of that. Do we think we need to do more? Yes. I mean, we should never be happy and content with where we are, but we believe we've made some major steps in showing that, number one, that we do have a good, strong workforce, and number two, that they do go to work every day and they are productive. So we think we have a lot of good things to build on, and we're going to continue to work toward that.
Do you see yourself as a regional candidate, the Iron Range guy?
You know, Gary, people have talked to me about that, and part of why when we started this process thinking about running, the goal was to make sure that people understood that we were more than that and our politics were more than that. And if you take a look at the team, all right, we'll have Rafael Ortega, who's going to be our treasurer. We will have Victoria Reinhardt. We will have Lynn Levine. We will have Peter McLaughlin. We will have Rick Hansen. We will have Alice Johnson. And we will have former representative, Richard Jefferson. That's not a very... And Eunice Beal from the 1st Congressional District. We do not believe we're going to be a regional candidate. I think when I've been in the state, well, just the last week, I was up at home and North Branch, and the question came up about light rail. I've supported light rail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been a believer in that. It works. That's not very regional for where I live. This last legislative session, I chaired the Jobs, Energy, and Community Development Budget Division, the biggest housing bill in the state's history came by there. Granted, the Senate is about consensus, but I steered that through very statewide. I think that we have been, and we've voted for jobs. We've done everything asked of us as part of being in the TFL Senate, which is part of bleeding, to try to get away from that thought that we're a regional candidate.
Mm-hmm. Gun control and the environmental issues, BWCA and so on, those traditionally have been in this state among Democrats, real cutting-edge issues. Would you support further restrictions on guns?
Well, I think that I would. My role and goal would be to be where Paul Wellstone has been, and I think that we have a ton of things in place, and we should talk about gun safety. I think when your Democrats get into trouble is when gun control is a lot different. I mean, it's just the perception in words. And we should be talking about gun safety. We should be talking about, well, I have a favorite story. All right? John Pierlet. Hunted and trapped all his life. He's in his 80s. And he, after the Columbine incident, pulled me aside and he said to me, he goes, you know, Jerry, I trapped, hunted all my life. Who needs an AK-47? And I think we need to have those discussions of where and how we get to where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're not going to out NRA Rod Grants. That's not going to happen. It can't happen. But I think the difference between us and them are going to be we're going to take a look at this and try to do something that's responsible.
What about land use issues like the BWCA? Have we gone too far one way or the other on that?
We end up with, it's like anything else, and part of what I've learned in the legislature and on the county board, you have to find the middle. You have to find something that's gonna work for people, who's going to allow them to work and do their jobs, and at the same time, we in Minnesota like to have recreation opportunities. We want our water to be clean. We want to be able to go to hunt. We want to be able to fish. So you have to balance that. And I think part of the discussion always is you have two sides, and finding common ground is where you should be. I ended up going out to Washington and spent some time with Congressman Obestar and Congressman Vento because the boundary waters was a big issue, and the compromise was a big deal. And we sat down, and I talked to both of them, and they're happy with where it is, and I don't intend to pursue it any further than that. I think the issue is over. We should move on.
Mike, your question, please.
Good morning, Mr. Janicich.
Good morning, Mike.
I'm a college student. I was reading a recent article that you were in favor of lowering the drinking age from 21 to 19. Do you support this, and why?
Mike, this is about just good old-fashioned, reasonable common sense. Here's what happened. When I started in 1972, 73, the drinking age changed to 18 years old around then, shortly around then. And it changed to 18. And what I found was that 18-year-olds are still going to high school. And they would come in at lunchtime. And I don't think that's responsible, and I don't think that's a good idea. But to think that 19, 20-year-olds on college campuses and out in Minnesota in general aren't drinking, I think is not being straight up and honest with anybody. If you're 19 years old, you can easily be holding down a job, and you can be working with older people, and they can easily be after work or on a Friday, easily be walking into a bar to have a beer. It's just not, there's something here that just isn't right. Now, have I sponsored legislation to do that? No. Because there is a downside. The downside is Minnesota would lose a lot of federal money. And there hasn't been exactly an outcry to change that. And I think that part of what would have to happen is you'd have to make sure that you do not lose the federal money. And number two, that 19 and 20 year olds want it to happen. Because unless they do, it just won't.
Do we need a single age, a majority, where once a person reaches a certain age, whatever that age might be, then they're eligible to do everything that an adult can do, and before that, they aren't?
I actually, Gary, believe we should. When I was growing up, if you were 19 years old, you could very well have been in college one day and Vietnam the next. And I think that we should have an age that works. A standard that just, all right, it's 18 for everything, or it's 19 for everything, and go with it. I'm convinced that we should.
State Senator Jerry Janicich is our guest this hour. He is one of the DFL candidates for the U.S. Senate seat, now held by Senator Rod Grams, the Republican. Senator Janicich has come by today to take your questions, talk about his campaign. Great opportunity to find out a little bit more about where he stands on the issues. And if you've got a question, give us a call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. Mark, you're next.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Part of being a senator is judgment, and I wonder what your leadership role in trying to put a twin stadium through tells us about your judgment and about whether you end up on the same page as average Minnesotans. I mean, is it because you were responsive to the building trades, or I mean, what brought this about? It kind of baffles me.
Okay. Part of being a state senator or elected office is about leadership. And it is about finding solutions. What we did in the Senate, I was the one who, we had a problem. We needed to find or try to find a solution. We went out and tried to find one. Obviously, it didn't work. Obviously, no one has found one yet. And am I going to go there again? No. But do I believe that maybe the federal government could do something to try to take the wheels off of what I think are about community? I think sports teams are about community. I think the federal government could do something to try to make sure that just because you don't have X amount of box seats or X amount of suites or you don't take in X amount of revenue, that you can be held hostage. And we offered a solution we thought might take care of a problem. It didn't work. What I find is that sometimes you lose in this process, and would I take that? It's lost in St. Paul. It's lost in the legislature. That pretty much tells me that the public doesn't particularly want to see taxpayers' money do that. I understand that, and you move on, I think.
Marty, your question?
Yes, Senator. There seems to be a huge influx here in Minnesota of people from different countries, both from Mexico and just the immigrant population seems to be booming. I was curious as to if you were elected to be U.S. Senator, what your policy would be in regards to immigration.
We're all immigrants. Every one of us are immigrants. My grandmother came from Yugoslavia. When she came to the United States of America, she spoke no English. The more things change, the more they stay the same. My grandmother went to school with my dad. In Roosevelt Elementary School, where I visited in St. Paul, they have interpreters. We are supposed to be a country and a land of everything and everybody. And I believe that that's the case, and I believe that's the way we should be. If not for them, I don't get to do this. And I think that that's what makes America great.
Tim, you're quite... Let's see. Whoops. Just a minute here. Now we're ready for you, Tim. Go ahead.
There you go. Okay. Sir, I don't know if you were listening to the program prior to this. They were talking about the size of prisons in the United States and the population growth as to that. How do you plan on dropping the population in prisons? And do you feel that the people that are in prisons that are in there for illegal drug use or whatever should be in prisons, or should they be in medical treatment programs?
That's a good question. If you check the front page of the Minneapolis paper, it said the crime rate is down. There's kind of a if you're looking at the Minneapolis paper today, and if you were listening to the program, you probably got a pretty mixed signal about what we're doing. In alcohol, we call it treatment. In drugs, we put people in jail for drugs. I think that treatment is the way to do that. And I do believe that one of the things that we as a nation have missed and that Minnesota has caught on to over the last few years is that we know that my grandmother knew it, my grandfather knew it, I know it, my parents knew it, that 0 to 7 is the most important time in a child's life. And in this day and age, what's going on is everybody is working. And I think that what we need to do is concentrate on 0 to 7, the early childhood stuff. Make sure we have good, affordable health care. We have Head Start, good daycare, early childhood programs, learning readiness. And what I think happens is if we reinvest on the lower side of this, we won't build prisons. We won't build jails. Give children early on the opportunities to succeed, and we won't drive them into those other areas.
We're talking this hour with DFL U.S. Senate candidate Jerry Janicich, who is currently a state senator, represents the Iron Range. He's from Chisholm. He's come by today to take your questions about his candidacy, and we invite you to give us a call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Senator, you were talking before we broke for the news about the need for improved health care in this country, early childhood education programs and the like. How do you balance your perceived need for those programs against the perceived need to balance, to keep the balance, the federal budget in balance?
And I think you do the same things that we've done, that I've done on the county board, in the state house, and in the state senate. You take a look at what you want to prioritize. You take a look at your resources and how you want to prioritize things. I think that if we're looking at where we want to, do we want to invest in federal prisons, or do we want to maybe invest a little of that money on the bottom side? Currently, we do some things, but we don't have, you need to be an advocate. Okay, I believe you need to make people aware that those types of investments long term are going to make a difference in not only in the lives of every Minnesotan, but in the lives of the country and the nation. We log, we mine, we have great water, but the only real resource that matters, I think, is our children. And we need to give them the solid things. And I think you do that on the bottom side. And I think you prioritize whether you're going to spend whatever the amount is on a hammer, or whether you're going to do it and put it in on the bottom side. And we've done that before, and I think in Minnesota we've stepped up and we've created the Department of Children, Families, and Learning. We got an early childhood division, something that just happened in the last three, four years. I think those kinds of things bring attention to the issue, and I think those are the kinds of things that the federal government needs to do.
Senator Granz has spoken frequently about the need for a fairly significant federal tax cut. Do you think that the nation can afford that?
I think you do some things first, all right? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid were promises that were given to our seniors. You make them work. You make them work. We got a debt. You pay the debt. I, as a parent, wouldn't die and leave my debt to my children in my home. I mean, I just wouldn't do that. Everything I do in my home, I gear so that I give them a better shot at life, not put them and bury them, make it life worse for them. Country can run like that, and it should run like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, why wouldn't we run a country like we run our homes?
Universal health care, should we be paying for that? Should we set up a program whereby everybody is covered under some kind of health care program?
I think we need to take a good hard look at where we're at, and we need to do some work to do that. Part of our problem is that people think it's an entitlement, that they just should have it. Part of our problem is in the early 60s, the Kennedys talked about getting in shape and being in physical fitness and paying attention to your health. And I think that recent studies say that Americans haven't been doing that. We should do some of that kind of stuff. We know that the costs on the top end are more expensive, and that's where we spend most of the money. We need to pay attention on our choices when we get there. I think that Minnesota has done things way better than anybody else, and part of that means we get penalized on reimbursements. I want to say it's like 1% or 2% of our children do not have health care in Minnesota. Well, those kinds of things we should bring to this nation, to Washington, D.C., the kinds of things and solutions we've been working on here, and apply them on a larger scale.
Back to the phones. Kenlin has a question for Senator Janicich. Go ahead.
Hi. I was really surprised last week to hear on the radio that 50% of the people who are presently homeless in Minnesota actually have jobs. And I find it outrageous that we're talking about giving tax rebates and that kind of stuff when there are people who are actually clearly working and trying to improve their situation, but even working they can't afford to have a home.
Major problem, Kim. In our state we have a great economy, but we have a ton of people who can't buy a home. They can't find a place to live. When I was about to announce last week, I had a speech written. And I looked at that speech, and I thought it was a pretty good speech. But at one point on Tuesday night, I thought it was terrible. And so I was fortunate enough that the first stop in the morning was going to be the Von Steffensrud Elementary School, which is about early childhood and through third grade. And the teacher had asked the third graders, and I want you to think about this, all of you out there, because I think this says a lot about just us. The third graders were asked, if Senator Janicich became a U.S. Senator, what concerns would you have? The foremost, Gary, ones, good food. I was going to talk about agriculture and the importance of agriculture. good education. Granted, the word education was spelt wrong, but that's what they had on the list. In fact, I have that with me here. I got it underlined. Gary, if you want to take a look at some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Good food, good education, a house to live in. Things that we just, so far, those are things that we just kind of take for granted. But these kids thought they were important. And health care. And I think that we in Minnesota, that says it all. Not only in Minnesota, actually in this nation. Those are the kinds of things that we should provide and help provide and make sure that our children have those. And we do have a housing shortage. And I was fortunate enough to be part of, and this state did lead in putting together the best housing bill in its history. But on the federal level, we need to attack that issue. And we need to attack it greater.
Again, to come up with the money to pay for programs like that, beyond the standard waste and abuse that we always hear about, so on and so forth. What about the Pentagon budget? Do you think that ought to be slashed significantly?
I think we should look at it. Yes, I think everything should be on the table. Whenever you're doing, what I found in government is every time you do a budget, everything should be on the table, and you should start from scratch. And I think that we need to do those kinds of things. And when you're there, what you do is you study and you look at what's available, what's not available, the type of resources you have, and then you make those decisions. And then you come out with that. And I think that's how you get it done, and that's how I've always done it, and that's how I would do it.
Cindy, your question, please.
Yes, I'm a longtime Democratic supporter from the Iron Range, and I would like to hear what Jerry has to say about this, the uprising kind of this new reformed party and the election of Jesse Ventura, and what is the message that he sees is being given to the Democratic Party. I know personally, my sense is that as a longtime Democrat, I'm very frustrated. I feel that there's a tremendous amount of nepotism within both the Republican and Democratic parties, and that they aren't listening to the average person much anymore, but they're so tied up within the party themselves that they only have themselves to listen to. And I'm hoping that this is going to really open things up for everybody.
I you're right. I mean, I think that the message was pretty clear. Where we live, the difference between what Congressman Oberstar, the votes he had, and my representative, and what Humphrey had, went Ventura. And I think it's all about Democrats paying attention to what working families and working people need and want, and about giving straight answers. And I hope that's what I accomplish, and that's the goal. We need to connect with working families and understand those basic needs that everybody wants and needs, and I hope we can accomplish that.
Pete, your question, please.
Hi, Senator.
Good morning.
I'm well aware of your work and your commitment to working families. In Minnesota, we're projected to lose approximately 8% of our family farms next year. As a member of the U.S. Senate, what would you propose the U.S. Senate do to stem the tide, staff the flow of the loss of family farms and the crisis to which our family farmers are subjected at this moment?
Over the last few months, I've traveled the Northwest, the southern part of the state, and I've sat with farmers. And I asked them, what do you need? What can I help you do? And they all have, for the most part, if you sit with 10, you got eight different things. They all have different things that they need and different ways to get there. My goal, you know, the Agriculture Committee in the United States Senate, Humphrey sat on it, Mondale sat on it, McCarthy sat on it. We need a U.S. Senator to sit on it. There's no way that anybody, I believe, between now and November are going to be able to have an answer to the ag problem and the issues. I think there's only way you get there, and that's sit on the committee, listen to people, work, find out what might work, what might not work, and put together a policy that does work. We should know by now that a policy that was put together 60 years ago for dairy is not going to work in Minnesota. And I believe if you're on the committee and you work the committee, that you should be able to find a way to make that work. I believe if you're in the majority and that's an issue that you want to accomplish and you don't accomplish, then in your majority, you're not very good at what you do for a living. Where I come from, we pick issues, we pick things that we want to accomplish, and if I don't make those things happen, the people I represent don't let me be there anymore. And I think that that's very important. So I would my goal would be to sit on the committee and work it, and work it hard, and understand that food is what we're about, and agriculture is big, always has been big in Minnesota, and is big in the Midwest.
Sam, your question for Senator Janisich?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Senator Janisich, I know that being from the Iron Range, sometimes open mining and the logging industry are like wholeheartedly supported up there. And as a member of the environment and just an environmental activist, I was wondering how you're going to reconcile those differences sometimes between labor and environmentalists.
One of the neatest things about the WTO march was you saw labor, ag, and the environmentalists walking together for a common cause. I don't believe that that's, I believe that that should be the norm. I think that working men and women who use the environment, who mine, who log, they all use it, they all want it to be there long term. And I think that you can and should find a balance for all these resources. And my goal would be to do that.
Boy, people have been looking for that balance for a long time, though.
Gary, they've been looking for it, and for some odd reason, they do find middle. Okay, I mean, if you take a look at Minnesota, we do a pretty good job. And it's all about democracy working. It's all about those who want something on one side, those who want it on the other side, and there you end up finding compromise. And I think that's the way democracy is. It works. And I think part of part of somebody like me who's been a consensus sort of person, that's how you get there.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, your question?
Hi, I'm calling from St. Paul, and I just want to know more about whether Jerry is pro-choice or anti-choice.
Actually, Jerry is pro-choice, and I know for a lot of people that's because of where I'm born and raised from. I am pro-choice, and there's actually a pretty good story on that, Jenny. When I first ran for the county board back in 82, 83, the issue came up, and I'm Catholic. My mother was brought up and went to Catholic school in Colorado, actually. My dad had met her while he was in the service. And I went to my mother, and I asked her, I said, "So, Mom, talk to me a little bit about this, the pro-life, pro-choice." She, across the table, she told me, "You're pro-choice. It's none of your business what I do with my body." And that pretty much explained it to me very quickly and very simply.
Do you think that's going to be a significant advantage for you in terms of getting the endorsement?
I think that's part of how that process would work. Yeah, I think between that, the education background I have, the good labor background I have, I think all those things should help me be the endorsed candidate.
Ken, you're next.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment and a question. The comment is on the national debt issue. I would urge Senator Janisich to rethink his position because if, in fact, we did manage our finances as a nation as we do as a people, we wouldn't do silly things and account for buying, say, cars and just consider it to be an expense right away. We would recognize it in a different accounting term than we do in the federal government. The question is, what specific things would Senator Janisich do to cut the national debt?
Right, kid, when I refer to the debt, all right, I think that what you want to do is before you start talking about tax cuts, I think what you want to do is you want to make sure that is taken care of. And I think the way the economy is going right now, we should pay attention to how that works. Specifically, what things I would cut, I don't have that job yet. I haven't had the opportunity to look through all of that. I think that's part of doing that when you get there. When I got elected to the county board, you sat and you looked at what was there and you made the decisions based on that. The Minnesota House, the same thing, and the Minnesota Senate, the same way. That's the way I would do it on the federal level.
Let me run a few other areas or issues past you. Social Security, any support whatsoever for privatizing at least part of the system?
I think that, personally, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't have any support to do that. I think that we should just give them what we promised them, make it work. I mean, we do have the capability of doing that, and we should try to do that.
But apparently, as it is now, we'd either have to raise the payroll tax or somehow reduce benefits by either extending the retirement age or something like that.
Well, didn't it? It seems to me that there were two different schools on that one. Okay, there was one that said that we would be fine, and then there was another one that said that because we may possibly live longer, we may have to do some of the changes. And I think you have to take a look at both schools and come up with something that makes some sense. I haven't looked at the exact details of any of that, but I do believe that we should be able to make this work.
China, should we support their entrance into the World Trade Organization?
Not until they take care of some of the human rights problems.
Better to isolate them?
No, but I think that you don't have to isolate them as encourage them. And I think that they should be very much encouraged to do some of those kinds of things.
Russia, should we cut off aid to Russia as a way to protest the Chechnya policy?
I don't think you cut off aid to people. Okay, I mean, I think using food as a weapon is not a good thing. And I know we do that sometimes, but I think that we as a nation should be bigger than that.
But I mean, these, you know, like the IMF loans and things like that, should we take a second look at those kind of policies until...
I actually believe that we probably, taking a second look, should never not be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have some problems there. I mean, there's struggles for trying to be a player again, because in the world market, you know, I mean, they have some problems, and I think that we should try to help them get there, because we know that the Cold War is over. We know that there are going to be some problems in this country. We are preaching a global economy. I think reaching a hand is way better than not.
Who are you supporting for president?
Actually, I have friends on both sides, so I'm with my friends.
you're not publicly backing either Gore or Bradley?
Not yet. I haven't come to that yet.
How would you rate Bill Clinton's performance as president?
Well, I think he's done a good job. I think he's done a good job. If there hadn't been some of those other issues, I believe that history will end up being good to him, except for some of that stuff. That's out there.
What about, I know you're concerned about this whole globalization thing, and it seems like that his policies were really the target of what was happening out in Seattle.
Out in Seattle, but I think eventually he'll be judged on the economy. I mean, I think that was part of why he got elected back when Bush, part of when he beat Bush, was about the economy and where the economy was. And I think that the economy today is very strong.
Mm-hmm. Had you been in the Senate, would you have voted to impeach him?
No.
Why not?
Because I just don't believe that what he did was a crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you, Senator. Appreciate your coming in today.
Thanks, Gary. It's been fun. It's been fun, and I hope we have another opportunity.
You bet. Thank you very much.